It's 1 o'clock.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, February the 23rd. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
No, you didn't say gorgeous when I came in, did you, Paul Andrews? What did you say?
You look like a Cossack.
Some sort of Russian Cossack.
You look like a Russian Cossack, I said. She got her trews tucked into her boots, listener.
I'll have you know that leggings are out, Mr. Andrews.
And she had a pony in a car park as well.
Leggings are out. I had a quart of vodka, perhaps.
A quart of vodka?
Yeah, and some...
Did you? Was that breakfast?
Well, Russian. What else do they have?
No, that's it. Yeah.
Smash the glass down.
Yeah, yeah.
I did actually partake of rather nice vodka at the Russian embassy when I was in Delhi.
Really?
Very recently.
Kelsapries.
Yeah, very nice. They had beautiful fountains in the garden with peacocks and, you know...
Blimey, peacocks in the fountain. I normally have water in mine, but, you know, I mean, each to their own.
Peacocks mooching round the fountain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the fountain changed colours. It was violet and blue.
And where was this?
This was New Delhi. Yeah, at the Russian embassy.
The Russian embassy in New Delhi.
Yes, where I was.
Yeah.
But, of course, yes, leggings are out.
Was Mr. Putin there?
No, but his picture was everywhere. Yeah. Got rather large pictures of him everywhere.
Right, okay.
I was going to say that leggings are out, and as you are the star guru of Channel Radio...
Of course.
You need to take note of these fashions.
Do I?
Yeah.
So I need to stop wearing my leggings?
I think
my
so.
My yoga pants.
Yeah, I mean, your voice is getting higher and higher.
Was it? Yeah.
As I came in, I was a little bit late, listener, because, of course, I'd forgotten it's half term is over and the traffic has decided to leap up again. I was behind. You know when you're late and you get later and later and every driver in front of you...
No, never happens to me, Jules.
I had Percy the Ponderer in front of me for about half an hour.
You had who?
Percy the Ponderer.
Oh, right, okay.
Driving in front.
Yeah,
and then I had Dolly Daydream. She was, you know, coming, mooching along.
Absolutely.
Every time they want to turn left, they slow down to about 3 miles an hour, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I drove down the country lanes here, listener, I saw this bird, and I'm keeping this vision of it. It was just going into the dykes that you have here in Romney Marsh,
yeah.
Dykes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I need to Google it. Somebody might know if they're listening. Quite a small bird, looked like a wader, and it had a really sharp beak, and it was sort of brown and thrushy, but with a long, sharp beak. What do you think it might be?
Budgie.
It wasn't a budgie. It
was it
was a wader of some sort. I got very excited. I'm going to be Googling it. But if any listeners want to have
did you get a picture of it?
No, because I was late. I was already flying around the mountain top at 50 miles an hour. I think it might be a lesser spotted reed warbler.
A lesser spotted reed warbler. Bound to be.
But it had a very sharp beak.
Curly.
No, it wasn't curly. It was quite straight. Straight beak.
Enough of that nonsense. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us and to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have already had a few hundred tweets, but do keep them coming. We'd love to hear from you, the listeners. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for you again today, and we shall be introducing both the ladies as we go through the show. And I'd just like to say a massive thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at RAP Office Contracts and fit out and design.
Love a pod, don't they?
They do like a pod. They do like a bit of design as well.
Yeah.
They've got some right funky furniture.
And some colour.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you to the lovely folks at RAP Office Contracts. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Talking of colour, before we go on to the show, because my decorator's in, I've got quite a dark, my new husband's office is quite dark and cave-like. And so I was pondering about yellow.
Yellow.
You've got to be quite brave with yellow, haven't you?
Yellow.
Andrews? Yeah, yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah. See, what would it go
with? Whitstable mother in custard shortage.
You've read the book.
Oh, I have read the book. That's what springs to mind.
Yeah, but there's a sort of a mellow yellow, isn't there? As Donovan sang about once. You'd be old.
You're going to get Donovan in to decorate the cave.
Yeah, I might.
Okay.
I might.
Good
but
idea.
What would go with yellow? I can only think of grey.
Grey goes with yellow.
Possibly,
blue goes with yellow.
Possibly a marine blue.
Blue goes with yellow. Green goes with yellow.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose you're looking at nature, aren't you?
Norwich City.
So I could have a bright green carpet.
Yeah.
And bright yellow walls.
Yeah, of course you can.
Would that work for you?
Well, you can have whatever you want. It'll be horrible, but you can have it.
I'm going to stick to white, aren't I?
Yeah.
Very boring.
Quite possibly.
Did you know that there's a newly launched website, Paul Andrews?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it, Jules.
The Beating Heart of McBride's.
Blimey.
Now, who are McBride's? I hear you hail. They are chartered accountants, and they've launched their new branding and website. I've just got it. You were beating your heart then. Sorry.
Absolutely.
I was a bit slow. The firm with a 40-year track record of delivering accountancy and business advisory services from their offices in Sidcup. Reminds me of yellow again, like buttercup. Have developed a reputation over the years for doing things differently. Managing Director Nick Paterno said, a lot of thought has gone into the planning and delivery of our new branding and website. The new website is a portal for clients, future clients and employees, and is a mine of information which we hope our visitors will love. So you can look at this spanking new website at McBride, that's mcbridesllp.com. And you can also follow them on the Twitter at mcbrideslip, L-I-P at the end. So brides and then lip, if you like, or bride and slip, depending on how you want to say it. You just turned me up then, didn't you? I felt all tingly.
Did you?
Yeah, you turned my mic.
I have that effect on women.
Yes, tell Mikey it's working very well, my Mikey.
Yeah, don't push it. Don't push it.
No.
You know what it's like around here.
Last week.
It could all go Pete Tong very quickly.
Well, last week my fans were outraged, you know.
Absolutely. I'm not surprised. You sounded like a ferret being throttled. Did you not?
Well,
and it didn't get any better on the listen again either. But whatever. Anyway, we got bazillions of tweets, and I'm going to start to read some of them. We had a tweet from Buckland Media. Buckland Media on the Twitter. Hi, VanillaWeb. We're official design partner for Kent Vision Live, and we'd love a mention. Thanks on the Business Bunker Show. So that's the official design partners for the Kent Vision Live exhibition over there at the County Showground later in the year. And that's Buckland Media. So welcome to the show, Buckland Media, and a big shout out for you. And do give them a follow on the Twitter, Buckland, B-U-C-K-L-A-N-D, Media, all one word.
Is your business doing well, we ask?
Not bad.
In fact, we don't ask. It's Kent and Victor Chamber that are asking.
Ah.
And they're asking also if you're proud of what you've achieved, listeners. So why not shout about it and try for a well-deserved award? Share your successes and get the recognition you deserve by entering the Kent Invictor Chambers 2016 Awards. Now, entering these awards can give you a chance to show off to your clients and customers and competitors about how successful you are. Also, of course, invaluable promotion opportunities, powerful PR and marketing tool. Also, of course, recognition through the county, and I would say probably through the UK. Boost staff morale and further recruitment. And you also get an engraved glass trophy to put on your desk. And
wow.
The winners of the Chamber Awards will be announced at a gala dinner to be held at Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, which is a stonking venue, isn't it, Paul?
It's a fabulous venue. It's an absolutely fabulous venue.
Thursday, 17th of March, and it'll be in the precincts of the historic Canterbury Cathedral. They want you to apply now and promote your business excellence in Kent. Go on to the kentinvictorchamber.co.uk business website, or indeed go on to Kent Business Radio's website and you'll find it all there.
Absolutely. It's funny you should mention Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, because I found out last week.
Becoming a monk?
No. But if you remember, a gang of us last year staged a nun conference.
That's right, yeah.
And we're going to.
Last year?
Yeah, it was last November. We're going to stage another one this year in association with Canterbury City Council and the lovely folks from Rift Accounting. We will be back at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge later in the year with our second nun conference.
I love that. And did that man ever come over that was from Canada, wasn't he?
He was from Boston.
Boston.
Yeah. Steve. Yeah.
He came, did he?
He's got a business based here at Discovery Park. In fact, Chris Pollard introduced him to me by email, and we were due to meet up, but we haven't managed to do that yet.
Well, Chris Pollard is a mover and a shaker, isn't he?
Chris Pollard is
very good at introducing.
He's the granddaddy of movers and shakers in every way.
Often over a sort of splendid lunch,
I find. And occasionally a breakfast these days as well at the townhouse in Maidstone.
Sometimes a little nibble in the evening.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from the Hop Shop.
Oh.
The Hop Shop, hop_shop on the Twitter. And they say, Vanilla Web, I'm running a crowdfunder project to bring a real ale craft beer shop to Rochester High Street.
Ooh.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Rochester High Street's funky.
It is. Well, we met once there with...
Shh. I told you not to mention that.
No, we had a gaggle of people that were there.
We did.
At dinner, didn't we?
I'll tell you what it was. We went to a dinner organised by Tamsin Fox Davis. Constant Contact.
Yeah.
We did indeed. Well remembered. Well, the Hop Shop are running a crowdfunder project to open a real ale or craft beer shop in Rochester High Street. You can go to their crowdfunder project, which is crowdfunder.co.uk/hop-shop, and you can donate some money to their crowdfunding. And you can also follow them on the Twitter at @thehop_shop.
Sorry, I'm just getting a vision of you hopping while you say it, which you should be really.
I am doing it on one foot.
Yeah, you should.
I am doing it on one foot.
A bit like that bird I saw, that wader, which nobody has yet tweeted in to tell me what it was.
That's remiss of them, isn't it?
Normally our listeners are very
shocked.
You know,
I tell you, she's shocked, listener.
Normally
she is shocked to her
right
very
up on
core.
That.
She is in trauma.
But normally they're right up there when I ask a question, aren't they?
Yeah. They're obviously bored.
Bored.
Bored with your bird.
Bored with my bird.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from KFMS. Peter KFMS Kent is the Twitter handle.
Right.
Peter KFMS Kent. Vanilla, please give Kent Financial and Management Services a shout out on the show. Thank you. And thank you.
Well, how did they know we would? They could premature to say thank you, really.
Yeah.
But, isn't it?
Well, that's fine.
But sweet.
No, it was a tweet, yeah?
Yeah. Sweet, I said.
Sweet.
Yeah, not tweet. You are getting deaf now that you're over 60. I've noticed.
Am I?
Actually, as I was flossing this morning, it's another reason I was late.
Flossing?
I had to floss. Apparently, you have to floss.
Is that that time in a year again? Okay.
I was wondering how long you'd keep your teeth for now that you are over 60.
Whose teeth?
Since you've had that. Well, those teeth that you have, whoever's ever they are.
Well, mine, I borrowed these.
Yeah.
I got them from a second-hand teeth shop.
Second-hand donkey?
Yeah. Sarah B. Marketing.
Oh, yeah. Are they new?
Yeah, they are. And their Twitter handle is Tweet Sarah B, B-double-E.
It's not sort of a Somerset accent. Sarah B. Marketing.
It could be.
She'd be marketing.
We could do it like that, couldn't we?
You should.
We could do it like that. Yeah. But I don't think that would be very accurate, but we could do it like that. But Sarah B. Marketing, Tweet Sarah B. on the Twitter. Sarah B. Marketing is an award-winning PR and marketing company covering Kent and Essex.
Where are they based?
It doesn't say, but their website is sarahbmarketing.com.
Well, they're probably right on the cusp, aren't they?
They could be.
Essex.
They could well be.
What is the cusp of Kent and Essex?
Dartford. Or Thurrock.
Do you know, my young son got 4 hours he was there the other day, old Shay.
What, stuck?
Yeah.
His way back to uni.
When we had the wind.
Yeah.
Four hours.
Did he?
Yeah.
I told you about making those curries, didn't I, before he goes back to uni.
You know, Anthony Jones, he's gone off on one because I asked him to tweet us a photograph.
Yeah.
He is AJ Photo Info. He's gone wild now, so he's obviously listening in. He sent us a lovely picture of Battenberg cake this morning, which is another reason I was late, because then I had to have a bit of cake. I had to pop round to Sally Laker's.
Yeah.
And then he Peace Centre's a lovely creative art photography workspace.
It's fantastic, isn't it, actually?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the picture now.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Anthony also sent a tweet aimed at one of our guests today, Julie from Cascade Insurance, asking her about public liability insurance. So I think...
she's the one.
I think Julie's going to sort that out for him.
Excellent. And Western BBC, that is not the television programme, but Western BBC, I think they're a breakfast club. And right. They say, hi, Vanilla Webb, and the lovely Jules Serkin, with no mention of you being at all nice. And they say, please mention Western Biz Breakfast Club this Friday with Beyond Local to book. Go on to Western BBC. So we will.
You'll like this next tweet.
Will I?
Yeah, you'll love this next tweet.
Is it about a wading bird?
No.
I won't like it then.
You will, I guarantee it. Vanilla Webb, please mention us. It's the last call for stallholders at the charity annual Donkey Derby.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a big picture of a donkey. It's not a wading bird at all. It's a donkey.
Oh, it's a lovely donkey.
It's a donkey with boss eyes. It's last call for stallholders at a charity annual Donkey Derby on the 11th of September. Blimey, so it's obviously popular if they've kind of sold the stands out already.
Yeah.
And that's at Danson Park, Welling, DA16. So, and you can follow them on the Twitter at DonkeyDerby2015 is their Twitter handle.
That sounds great. So you really should go on that.
Cause, Donkey
I mean,
Derby.
At your age, you know, horses are obviously out, but donkey would be fabulous.
You're trying
for
to sell them an exhibit.
Well, it'd be fabulous for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
donkey.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had the gorgeous Organic Sisters. Caroline and Liz on Riverford Organic. Could we have a shout out, please? Organic Sisters deliver veg, pantry and stuff to Kent. And good stuff it is too.
We have to be careful over the pantry, don't we?
We do indeed. That's not easy to say.
No.
So do give Riverford_Kent, that's Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters, deliverers of fruit, veg and other assorted delights directly to your home or workplace. Cool.
There is a half-day course, which is an introduction to direct marketing for business owners and beginners. And there are various dates in March, April and May. So you can probably take your pick and just tell them when you want to come. This is from Daryl Lineham, who has been on the Business Bunker. It must have been when I swanned off somewhere.
He has been on the Business Bunker.
Or maybe I met him. I can't remember. You know, no, I think
you did. It was quite a long time ago he was on.
Okay. I don't have the memory that you have, like some sort of elephant, your memory. Intro to direct marketing for beginners and small businesses. They'll cover everything from data protection and what you need to know to protect your business through to how to update your LinkedIn and Twitter. And the course will also walk you through the basics around how direct marketing excuse me, can help you acquire new customers and what the various costs could be. You'll also learn some useful tips that have been gained, says Daryl, over the last 20 years working with a wide range of clients from small businesses to large household brands. I want to know who they were, those household brands. So it's £60 plus VAT. The location is Dartford on the cusp of Essex in Kent. And if you're interested, please go to 3linksmedia. And that's written as the word three, 3linksmedia.com/events. There is a little phone number here, which I'll read out. You got your pen? 01-322-305-533. And that's Daryl Lineham, Introduction to Direct Marketing for Business Owners. Various dates, March, April and May.
Cool. Thank you for that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
A bit of tunage.
Now, I know this intro, but it's...
Julie knows it.
Yeah, come on. Oh, I know. It's Simon Issues. Lovely black singer, Simon someone.
Yeah, Ocean Cut. Yeah.
It's true. Can blue. I can share your situation. In hope. No, it ain't so
And quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, February the 23rd, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. That was a bit of Lighthouse Family.
Nice song, that. Nice tunage. And it gave lovely Julia memories, didn't it?
Well, she sang the whole thing.
Yeah.
She sang the whole thing in the studio. She did at the top of her little voice.
She thought she was back in Washington.
She did indeed. And very good it was too. Lovely. Do keep your tweets and emails coming in. We have had a tweet from John Starnes Photo. John Starnes Photo, that's J-O-H-N-S-T-A-R-N-S Photo. John Starnes Photo on the Twitter, who asked for a shout out, and consider yourself shouted out. Mm. I think I've got an email. I've read an email. I haven't read an email yet, have I?
You don't really know how to, do you?
I don't really know. Somebody will have to read it for me. Digital technology for export. Harnessing new technologies to boost your international business potential. On the 7th of March at the Hilton Hotel Maidstone, is technology working for your company? Are you maximising the use of devices at your fingertips? Do you have the right tools to boost your international sales? This is a workshop that's been run by Kent County Council in conjunction with Kent International Business, the UK Department of Trade and Investment, and Microsoft. And there's never been an easier time for your business to connect to the wider world. A range of exciting new technologies can enable you to explore and access business opportunities in international markets from the comfort of your own desk. The joint event organised by Kent County Council, UKTI South East and Microsoft will help Kent business explore how to make the most of a range of exciting, existing and emerging technologies to boost export potential and to simplify international activities. The event is free of charge, but you need to pre-register. And to register, you need to email international.affair, without an S.
That sounds good.
international.affair@kent.gov.uk. And the workshop, the free workshop, is taking place on the 7th of March at the Hilton Hotel Maidstone. So do book into that if you'd like to explore the technology for exporting overseas.
I think there's a lot of exporting going on, actually, and I think it's going to spread more and more.
Well, absolutely. It's in a digital world, it's becoming easier to do as well. So, all good stuff. Do you know what?
Speak to our next guest.
I think we will speak to our first guest. It's an absolute delight and pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show, for the very first time, the lovely Julie Cordes of Cascade Insurance Brokers in Ashford. Julie, welcome to the Business Bunker show.
Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Thank you for joining us. We have had a few questions thrown at us on Twitter over the last day or so about your appearance here. So what I thought we'd start off by doing, if you don't mind, is I'd like you, if you would, Julie, to clarify for the listener what it is that, what insurance is it that is a mandatory requirement for a small business?
Okay. Insurance for small businesses, as there are a couple of types of insurance that small businesses should have. Employer's liability really is the main one that's mandatory. So even where there are only a couple of perhaps part-time employees or even temporary staff that come in, then there should be insurance for those those staff. Insurers really understand that that there may be temporary staff or they're not there that often, but actually employer's liability is necessary because if an accident happens and somebody gets injured and they're unable to work, then they need perhaps to have some financial compensation for not being able to work.
Absolutely.
People have rent and mortgages to pay, and that's why employer's liability is mandatory.
Okay, that was kind of, you kind of answered the question I was going to ask you anyway, but we'll just clarify it a little bit. And I know this is general, because there are specific policies for specific things, obviously. But in general, employer liability insurance covers people that work for you on some basis, having an accident, presumably in your place of employment.
Yes, or while they're carrying out work for you.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
May not be just on the premises, but off premises too. So if they're working for you, anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you say, you know, can you pop down the shops and buy a tin of paint, then, you know, they're clearly working for you, or if they're on your premises. Does it cover normally people working on your premises that aren't employed by you? And I'm thinking of two different things here.
So window cleaners.
Well, yeah, people that are working on your premises, like cooks, tradespeople or whatever, or should that be covered by their own employees liability insurance?
Good question. I've got a decorator in today.
Yeah. And the other side of that is if I ring up a temp agency and say I need someone to come and do my my books this afternoon, is that kind of person covered?
So if you ask somebody to come in and do some work for you, then you would need employer's liability cover for that.
Right.
If you have somebody come to do work, then the lead contractor is the person who really should have the employer's liability for those people.
For the people working there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he or she is an employee of that company. That's and they right. are doing work on behalf of that company. No, I get that. Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Right. What I want to move on to now, this is good stuff, getting free advice like this. I love this. Yeah. It's one of the perks of the job, isn't it? I can ask all kinds of questions and get loads of free advice.
There aren't many other perks.
Yeah. As it happens, Cascade are actually our insurance brokers anyway.
Oh,
so yeah, there you go.
But,
yeah.
Wow.
So that's employer's insurance. Can we move on and can you give us a quick overview of public liability insurance, which is another insurance that quite a few businesses need to have, yeah?
Okay. So businesses should have public liability insurance. It's not something they need to have by law unless they are a horse riding establishment. They have to have public
horse riding.
Yeah, they have to.
Well, horses are very, very dangerous things. As speaking as someone that's been bucked off, kicked, they're, you know, gnashed at. You need insurance.
There's some discerning horses about, for sure.
So horse riding establishments. But apart from that, liability, I think.
What about kennels?
Kennel
establishment.
I don't think.
Well, that's interesting, because a dog can give you a nasty bite, can't it? Monkey sanctuary, they can give you a terrible bite.
Yeah.
Terrible bite.
I don't know where this is going now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Alpaca. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, Julie was quite clear. Horse riding establishments need mandatory.
Right.
Public liability insurance.
But public liability insurance, I think I was saying earlier, is a bit like a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
In the fact that I think the best example is like a plumber. If a plumber goes in to do some work and is having a bad day, doesn't mean to do so, but puts a nail through a pipe and doesn't realise it.
Julie just did a lovely impression there of a plumber putting a nail through a pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
She had a little spanner
in her hand. It's obviously happened to her, hasn't it? Yeah, you can see that by the way she reenacted it.
And goes away, and there's a leak, an escape of water in insurance terms, and it destroys the things in the building. Now, that plumber didn't mean to do that, but it was his fault. It was a negligence, and it is his get-out-of-jail-free card, because the insurance will therefore pay to make good the damage that has been done.
Absolutely.
And so it's damage, really. If I come here and I knock over the water all over your computer equipment...
Please don't. You'd get very uppity.
Exactly. But you would want your computer equipment back and your insurance that Cascade has.
I was going to say, if you did that, I'd just say, come on, Julie, pay out now.
Well, wouldn't that be an inside job?
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I would be very embarrassed. But that's where public liability does. Also, if you go into somebody else's... If
you slip on a banana going up somebody's front drive, like, you know, when I come to visit Paul, if he had a banana skin placed on his front drive and I slipped on it.
Tough.
Where would we be?
You'd be flat on your back in the drive.
Well, that's happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, often. Yeah. Well, no, because we're talking about public liability insurance of a business, not of a domestic property.
A lot of people work from home nowadays, so how does that...
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting thing that I want to come to in a minute, and that's a good point that you raised, Jules.
So have I preempted you?
Yeah, to some extent. It's a good and fair point. I just want to kind of finish off a little bit on public liability insurance, because, as Julie says, it's not mandatory unless you own horses. But it's one of those insurance that you really would be daft not to have, in my humble opinion, because it is so useful in so many ways.
Yeah, I think it's being wise about your business, isn't it? Mm. We all spend a lot of time and effort in building our businesses. And then if there was an accident or something should happen, then created a problem and you had to pay out a large amount of money. You know, you might be in a position where your business is put at risk through that. And you don't want that to happen. So insurance is there to support you in case of something unforeseen that comes along. Mm. So I think it's wise to have insurance in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was talking to you off air about a company I used to run many years ago, which was a software consulting company, who did a lot of work for banks, and our public liability insurance needs were huge, because if you can imagine, one mistake could wipe out the entire Western banking system, which is normally the job of a politician, but we could have done that and been severely liable for a huge amount. So it's always important to look at things like that. I want to come back to Jules's point in a moment, because it is a very salient point, especially with the way that things are changing. But I want to just move on to two other bits of insurance that affect most of us as small businesses and just get an overview of these two things, which is building and contents insurance.
Okay, so buildings insurance, even if you don't have your own building, you don't own the building, but if you're renting the building, you need to take a look and see what your contract says. Because if you're renting a property, then it may be that the landlord wants you to take out some buildings insurance there. But that does depend on each individual contract.
Sure.
So you need to just check that when you're going into a property to see whether you need to take out insurance there or not. The contents of it. Now, contents insurance is, it can be quite difficult to assess your amounts, really. Mm. And that's where you need to take a look at everything that you've got in it, all the computer
equipment,
an inventory. But you can also get a good insurance broker will come and help you do that sort of thing, will come and take a look at the square footage of what you've got inside and help you come to some sort of amount to put onto your contents insurance, because what you don't want to be is underinsured. And if the problem about being underinsured is that if you have a loss, then the insurance company will say, well, you only insured 50% of your contents anyway, so we'll only give you 50% of what you claim.
Right.
Which is shocking, really, if you... if you.
And you have to replace all that stuff. As a small business, it's terrifying.
Absolutely.
And presumably, there's also this thing about, which you see with quite a number of insurance, and cars as well, you know, which fools a lot of people. Your car gets written off. Most car insurance companies now won't replace the car with a like-for-like car. They'll give you what the value of the car was at the time it was written off, which could be fourpence.
They really wheedle out of everything.
Well, it's not so much, but it's what you've covered, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what you've covered. You need to take a look at your policy. And, and when you take out a policy, understand actually what the policy is all about. I think
that's the trouble. Who does read the small print?
Yeah, and car insurance policies, most of it is online, so it's quite difficult. You know, you're not having a conversation with someone.
And they've got these gap insurance things now as well, haven't they?
What's gap?
Where you take a gap insurance, which covers... Julie will put me right on this if I get this wrong. It covers the difference between what your vehicle is worth and the cost of replacing it with a brand new one, should it be written off.
Right. Okay. Julie?
Yes, that's right. That's something that we haven't done a great deal of in the past, but people are looking at that more and more now.
Yeah. Okay. So that's building insurance, which covers the infrastructure of a building, the roof, the walls, the windows, and the infrastructure of the building. There's contents insurance, which covers your stuff that's in it, and depending on how much you cover and what you cover it for and what the value of it is, depends on what you'll get back should you have to make a claim. I want to come to Jules's point now, because it is a very good point and it's an interesting point, which is more and more people are now working from home. And presumably that has some interesting impacts on insurance on both sides of the equation in terms of your domestic insurance policies and potentially a building insurance, a business insurance policy.
Yes. Well, these days, quite a lot of insurance companies, they understand that people work from home. So you can find that your home insurance policy will cover some working from home.
Right.
Policies generally cover a certain amount of computer equipment. But you need to just be sure on what is covered and make sure that you have an appropriate policy for this. So when we look at people who are working from home and look at their business insurance, we'll see what's covered under their house insurance first and see what extra insurance they need to take out.
So you don't get duplicates.
Yeah.
So you might have a personal computer or you might have one that you use for both home and business.
Yeah, some policies will cover some business equipment in the home insurance, but it really depends on, you know, if your business is beginning to get bigger and you've got some stock at home, obviously that stock is going to need to be covered. So you might then need to think about a different policy policy that is a little more commercially minded to cover your stock.
So I'm thinking also, I work with a lot of food businesses who, and also with my work, I get sent an awful lot of produce that I have in the freezer. I mean, I've got sort of a whole...
She means bottles of Prosecco.
Oh, lucky Jules.
You don't freeze Prosecco, Paul Andrews.
You know what?
You don't freeze Prosecco.
Do you not?
No, you frigidaire it. You don't freeze it.
Do you not?
No.
I thought you made lollies out of it.
Well, you could have a Prosecco lolly.
Exactly.
Yeah, nicely backtracked.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people have, moving swiftly on, they have huge, you know, sheep, whole cows and things in their freezer that they would use for work, maybe catering or pop-ups or whatever. So that's sort of a bit of a grey area, maybe, unless you are an actual restaurant.
Yeah, I think that you do...
We'll allow you to say you don't know and you can look it up in your book later.
Well, but it is dependent on the type of policy that you have and how big the operation is from home. I mean, one of the things that we find is that when people look at having their first business insurance, they get a bit worried about the questions that are asked and what about turnover? Oh, I don't have very much turnover at the moment in my business. Don't worry. Talk to your insurance broker about it. Insurers and brokers are understanding that, you know, you may have started up, you don't have a lot of turnover at the moment, but it's a growing business and you've got some stock and you've got insurable interest in the business there, so that you need to insure it. So again, you know, you might have a home with some meat in the freezer, so the meat in the freezer may be covered at home if you've got a policy that covers that nicely. But if you've got a business that is relying on quite a lot of
Prosecco
or stock, you're going to want to make sure that that's insured under a proper commercial policy.
Absolutely.
She's good, isn't she?
She's brilliant. She's brilliant. Funnily enough, we just had a tweet from Supply My Business as well, who said...
hello, Martin.
Yes.
The lovely Martin.
He said, Julie, thank you so much for sorting out our insurance. So that's the folks that Supply My Business who are listening.
Pleasure to do it.
Because they've got their networking coming up as well, which we'll mention later.
14th of March, yeah. East Kent College, Discovery Park. I want to put you on the spot now, Julie. Because I'm like that. Because I never mentioned this before and I've just thought about it. Back before Christmas, we had a bit of shenanigans in the UK where it rained a bit.
Floods, yeah.
And we all got flooded.
Yeah.
And now everybody's panicking about flood insurance. Is there anything you'd like to say about flood insurance? From a small business point of view, I realise that domestic flood insurance and all the rest of it, but I'm thinking primarily from a business point of view.
And also, just to interrupt, we need to hook Julie up with the Federation of Small Businesses who are trying to work, if you haven't already hooked up with them, are trying to work with the government to help small businesses with this flood.
To fund flood insurance. Yeah. While you're thinking about that, I'll tell you a little bit about my head office
we
in Maidstone.
Give her a chance.
No, but she's thinking about it. She's girding her loins to tell us the ins and outs of flood insurance. My head office in Maidstone is in a flood area.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I moved 9 months ago, and I moved nearer the river by 20 yards. Yet, I don't have as big a risk of being flooded because the building I've moved to is up a flight of steps.
Is it on stilts?
Effectively, yes. It's higher up than the building that was further away from the river, which is interesting. Anyway, that was pure nonsense to deflect.
But we got the picture. It was nice. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Didn't you, Julie?
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that.
Good.
And so, I think that's a useful story, really.
Yeah.
So flood insurance for small businesses. Well, this hasn't really been addressed yet, as the Federation of Small Businesses and other organisations are trying to push the government now that domestic flood is going to come in shortly. Organisations are pushing for the government to look for small businesses too, and that will be very welcome. I think in the meantime, and it will be a little while until that's resolved, I think businesses do have to think about when they are in a floodplain, what they can do themselves. Because I think even in the future, when the government decides to bring something in, they will say it's about mitigation.
Yeah.
So thinking about, well, if you're moving to an office, is it in a floodplain? Are you up a flight of stairs?
Yeah.
Do you have stock in that premises? If there's a flood warning, can you move the stock?
Yeah.
Where are your your electrical points. Are the electrical points at a decent height on the wall so they're not going to be affected by flood? And to let the insurers know if you've made these mitigating
sandbags.
Yeah, the sandbags.
Mitigating sandbags. Yeah.
So you need to let the insurers know, because if you've had the foresight and you've spent the money to do these things, then the insurers may well look at the cost of the insurance for you. But it is difficult. I think what small businesses can do is decide where they have offices and warehouses.
So there could be a dearth of office space in flood zones.
I want to ask a question here, and this is possibly a horrible question again. Sorry, Julie.
Another one. You're doing really well.
Yeah, she is. But it's the kind of questions that people ask, you know, and that's why having an expert like Julie as an insurance broker is a real peace of mind, because it's one thing to go online and book car insurance, you know, by just booking the cheapest you can find in an online search. It's a completely different ball game if you need some specialist support and advice. You need to ask an expert.
Well, I love the fact that she said she'll go in and talk, you know, through content.
So,
amazing.
One of the things that I think might fool a lot of people, and they might be right, though, is that a lot of people will assume that the building insurance covers things like flood. At what point does it stop to cover flood? Presumably, if you're in a known flood area, you need flood insurance, a separate flood insurance policy. But is there a grey line? How does it work?
So flood will usually be an exclusion on the policy,
right?
If you're in a flood area, so you will know it if you're in a flood area.
So your policy will say, you know, this covers you for this, and this, excluding floods, acts of God, plane crashes, or whatever else.
It'll certainly tell you. You should have notice of what the exclusions are. You know, if we talk to people about their insurances, we'll point these things out to people. We'll discuss them. As Jules has said, we do go to people for their to their businesses and to their homes to help them to get an idea really of what should be covered, so we can make sure that they're covered properly. There's nothing worse than finding out that you're underinsured if you have a claim, and so
it's nothing worse than feeling ripped off when you've been paying for years, and then when you really need it, they go, "Oh well, no, actually, that's awful."
Yes, and so we've recently been working with a very nice man, and his house insurance had come up.
Is it Martin White?
not Martin, another very nice man, and his.
There's two of them in Kent. How did that happen?
Came up for renewal, but he had been on as the same policy for a large number of years, and it really didn't cover him. And he'd made a couple of claims, and they decided not to renew. The insurer decided not to renew the insurance. We went in there and had a look at his insurance policy with him, and found out that he'd been vastly underinsured for some years. And it is a chance to relook at the insurances and to make sure that in the future he'll be properly covered. And he was very happy that we were able to do that for him.
Fantastic. Julie, we could talk about this forever, as you probably noticed.
It's a very dry subject sometimes, insurance, but we're really happy to discuss it for people and to answer questions.
You know, we made a couple of references while we were talking to you about people being unhappy with their insurance companies and when it comes time to claim. But a lot of that is entirely, as you explained, which is people haven't properly explored what cover they need before the event. If they'd have properly explored what they were getting, what they were buying and what they were covering, those kind of things wouldn't happen with the frequency that they happen, where people feel ripped off by their insurance company. So again, it's another real reason to use a professional insurance broker to help you through that process of really understanding what it is you're covering before you've covered it, not after you've made a claim and got all upset because they haven't paid out.
And we're really happy to answer questions, even if you have a policy in force and you just want to ask some questions. Mm. Even if we're not your broker, we're quite happy to help out with that. We do have Brilliant. The expertise. So if people wanted to give us a call, then we'd be happy to help.
On that note, why don't you give us details about how people can find out more about Cascade Insurance, your website, your Twitter handle, your phone number, or anything you want to give us so that people can ring you up and bother you with questions.
Okay, so the website is www.cascadeins, that's Cascade, and then ins.co.uk. We have a Facebook page as well, and on Twitter it's at Cascade_ins. We also, you can get hold of us on the telephone. And the telephone is 01233 512 548.
Fabulous.
Fantastic. Mm. Judy, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure
very
to hear from you. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure and very informative and instructive to hear about the ins and outs of the various types of business insurance.
I'm going to go through all my insurance having listened to you.
Thank you for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. For the moment, Judy Cordes, Cascade Insurance, Ashford Insurance Brokers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I was just thinking, Paul, you know, it's quite, you know, as you get old, older, like
She's
Paul.
Been thinking. She's
as,
been thinking.
As you get older, you get
Because you're quite old, aren't you, really?
Well, I'm creeping up behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you acquire more stuff. I've got two offices in my house now. I used to have one. Now I've got two. Yeah, so I've got one at the top of the house, as far away from my husband as I can. He's got one. But, you know, you get more stuff.
He's got a yellow one downstairs.
He's getting a yellow one. But, you know, you've got shredders, you've got Macs, you've got PCs. It just goes on and on and on. So, and cameras. I've got loads of cameras and stuff, microphones. It all mounts up. And I was thinking, none of that's on my home insurance.
I've got some... Were you talking about that? But it's absolutely true. I live on my own. In my office...
Well, who would live with you, exactly.
But in my office at home, I have four Macs, two PCs...
Now, you're showing
Two
off.
Printers.
Just because I said I had two Macs...
Yeah, but I've got more than you. I'm telling them I've got more than you.
Four Macs.
I've got four. I've got far more than you have.
Why do you need four?
Because I can't be bothered to walk all the way around the room.
Well... Yeah. But you've only got one office.
I've only got one office.
I have two offices.
Ah, yeah. Neither my office isn't yellow either.
But I think not yellow is a good colour. Anyway, I think we should both look into our insurance and chat.
Absolutely.
I'll invite her around for tea and cake and maybe a Prosecco. Yeah.
A Prosecco lolly.
And we can talk about Maryland. Maryland.
Cool. Kent and Victor Chamber Rising Stars is the new networking support forum for those in professional services. And on Thursday, the 25th of February, that's this Thursday, at the Thistle Hotel Brands Hatch, from 8:30 until 10:30, there's a meeting. And you can come and hear from guest speaker, the gorgeous Deborah Turner from New Image Consultancy, who's doing a short presentation on the importance of first impressions and personal branding. Members of the chamber can do it for £15, and non-members can do it for £20. And you can book your place this Thursday at the Brands Hatch Thistle Hotel by going to the kentinvictorchamber.co.uk website and to events and booking your place. Don't you know?
Sounds good. I think we could all do with a bit of personal branding. Yeah. Now, here's a little foodie one that I'm quite partial to. This is a West Kent export event, and Paul Andrews was talking about export earlier on.
I was.
It's for the food and drink sector, and they are holding this at the Bakehouse, which is number 124 Tunbridge. Must be what? Tunbridge what?
I don't know. Tell
Tunbridge.
Me.
2nd of March, and it's 9 to 11.30. How are they going to cram all that in 2 hours? And they're saying that the event aims to provide advice and info to food and drink companies who are interested in learning more about exporting their products. It will link with the Great Food from Kent project, which aims to help Kent food and drink companies across European markets. And this event has been arranged in partnership with the West Kent Partnership, Kent County Council, KCC, UKT1, Enterprise Europe Network, Produced in Kent, of which I'm going to their awards ceremony next week. Can't wait. I'm sitting with a load of farmers market people. And the West Kent Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So there'll be presentations about exporting, finance and distribution and export support available to Kent companies. So what's available, in other words. There will also be case studies. Local businesses will share their export experiences and networking and sampling of local food and drink products. So again, it's the 2nd of March, 9 to 11:30, and you can go for more info to international.affairs. Sounds quite good, doesn't it, an international affair, Judy? What do you think? You like travelling?
Oh, I don't know about an international affair. That sounds
you like travelling. International.affairs at kent.gov.uk, and there is a little telephone number, which is 03 000 000 417 456. And I'm sure Paul Andrews has popped it on the Kent Business Radio website.
It will indeed be on the Kent Business Radio website.
I might pop that in my handbag, may I?
Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting.
Go Vicinity. Haven't heard from Rob and the team for ages. I've had a tweet.
He's a bit huffy with me because I invited him for dinner about 2 years ago.
And forgot.
I haven't managed to.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it in. He's having babies and things. So.
Yeah, stop it, Rob.
Yeah. He's young.
Yeah.
So what's he saying anyway?
Just hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
He's had some really big contracts, so well done.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Andrea at Click Business.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Andrea?
I do.
Came down from the West Midlands, joined us a couple of times. Absolutely. You know, she managed to get on with Theo Pathetis.
Did she?
Yeah, yeah, on Small Business Saturday. She was one of the winners of that, and there's loads of lovely pictures of her on Facebook about it.
Congrats. Yeah. When was that? We'll be able to see it on...
a couple of weeks ago.
It'll still be on iPlayer and YouTube and things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Good for you, Andrea. Well done.
Yeah. And for those of you that want to, the Business Bunker, in conjunction with her business, Click Business, we put a daily tweet out, and that tweet is a link to new business tenders on a website that Andrea maintains. All over the country, in every field of business, she lists all the public sector contracts that are up for bidding.
Invaluable.
And it's an invaluable resource. It's and you wouldn't believe the kind of things that are on there. It is always worth a look, and it is updated daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
And a reminder, that's K-L-I-K, isn't it?
K-L-I-K, Click Business. But if you look out for the Business Bunker tweet, which tells you in it what it's all about, that goes out every morning, and you can then follow the link. Or you can just go into the Kent Business Radio website, into the blog site, and find the business tender page and click on the link there.
And well done, Andrea, for the Theo Papalopoulos. What do you call him?
Theotis.
Yes, that. Yeah. Well done for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We say.
Oh, look, I've just come across a picture of a Battenberg cake.
Yeah, yeah, that was that's the other thing that delayed me this morning, because then I had to have cake when I saw that.
Absolutely.
Very nice. That's from the new photographer that's been following us. I've gone off my Twitter, so I can't tell you. I'm going to read this while you look at your tweets, and then you can tell us. So this says, good afternoon, an evening of glitz and glamour to blast off those winter blues. This is the Parenta Trust. It's a gala ball, and it's taking place on Saturday the 27th of February. So that's this Saturday, I believe, at the Great Danes Hotel in Maidstone. Tickets are priced at £49 per person and includes a sumptuous three-course meal with wine, top-notch live band, charity auction, and so much more. Places for this black tie dinner dance are limited and selling fast. So contact, who do we contact? That's Debbie. You go on to the www.parenta, that's parenta.com/charity to find out more. They are trying to commission the build of the fourth nursery school. So further details about Parenta Trust are on that website. So it's parenta.com, and the event is this Saturday, 27th, at the Great Danes in Maidstone, just £49 per person.
Fantastic.
Sumptuous three-course meal.
Fantastic. There's a Sevenoaks Town Partnership, Sevenoaks Business Show 2016, which will take place on Friday the 22nd of April from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it will be taking place once again at the Plaza Suite Stag on London Road, Sevenoaks. And it will be officially opened by the Right Honourable Michael Fallon MP, Secretary of State for Defence. There'll be business networking, presentations and exhibits. There's 100 goodie bags up for grabs as well.
Ooh.
It's sponsored this year by Sevenoaks Town Council, Corquick, the Stag, and Sevenoaks District Council. If you'd like to book a stand at the event, you can email Bonnie Tarling at...
Bonnie Tyler?
Tarling.
Ah, oh, it's your teeth.
At ASL, sorry, OSL at sevenoakstown.gov.uk. OSL at sevenoakstown.gov.uk. So that's the Seven Oaks Business Show on Friday, the 22nd of April.
I'm feeling a bit smug because I'm sipping my...
What are you sipping?
I'm sipping my hand-ground coffee, hand-ground this
You've
morning.
Got coffee?
Yeah.
You bought a little flask in and you're scoffing it all to yourself.
Hand-ground, it's organic and everything.
Is it?
David Robinson. Now, I haven't been tweeted by him, I don't think. Carrison with a K. Carrison.
Property consultancy
MD,
in West Kent, yeah.
Founder and MD of... Yeah, he is a property advisor, actually, yeah. Of commercial property.
He is.
He'd be good for Serenity Becker. I'll have to put him on. So he says, thank you, Vanilla Webb and the lovely Jules Serkin, for the mention of the Western BBC this Friday with Beyond Local. So you're welcome. That's what we say.
Brilliant. Kent and Victor Chamber. Breakfast networking, 8 a.m. to 9:30, including full English breakfast. An opportunity to put your business in the spotlight. The next one is Thursday, the 3rd of March at the Hollywood Bowl, Rochester. On Thursday, the 3rd of March, they are also at the Burlington Hotel, Folkestone. That's a lovely Dan San Giuseppe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday, the 10th of March at the Holiday Inn, Ashford North. Thursday, the 7th of April, AMF Bowling, Ashford, including a guest speaker and a free game of bowling. What, for breakfast? Blimey. And then Tuesday, the 12th of April, the Dog and Bear Lenham.
I love a pub called the Dog and Bear, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can find out about that by going to kentandvictorchamber.co.uk, breakfast networking meetings. But they are the next set of breakfast meetings that are coming up with the Chamber of Commerce.
Sounding good.
Do get along to them. Do you know what?
More tunage?
It's time for a bit more tunage.
Yeah, what we got?
Well, there's quite a long intro to this, so we can waffle a little bit while you think about it.
It might give me time. Oh, now I know that. That's Steely Dan,
no.
Isn't it? Or one of those. Jerry Rafferty.
It is. Well spotted. That was Kathy got that, not you.
Spot on. Still a long intro, though. What should we talk about?